Welcome to Immigration Today. I'm Elizabeth Trifonis, and today we're breaking down policies, stories, and issues that matter. You're watching Now Media Television.
Immigration is more than a legal process. It's a journey of mindset, resilience, and reinvention. Today we explore how clarity, discipline, and purpose can transform not just businesses, but lives. In this segment, we are rethinking limits, mindset, and change. Joining us today is Douglas A. Wick, founder of Positioning Systems and one of the most successful independent e-myth business coaches. For decades, Douglas has helped leaders and entrepreneurs transform the way they think, lead, and grow by applying disciplined strategy, priorities, and systems. His work centers on one powerful idea: change your mind and you can change your results. I'm so glad that you're here with us, Douglas. I'm very excited to learn from you myself. I've been in business for 21 years, and I definitely am curious to hear about your strategies and how to move my own transitions forward. You often say that change your mind, create new results. How does that mindset shape success for immigrants who are rebuilding their lives in a new country?
Good question, because at least the immigrants that I know, I've been very, very impressed with. I think they come to this country with a abundance mindset, perhaps because of how they've been challenged in their previous environments. And so I believe they see living here as an opportunity far beyond what maybe most of them grew up with, or what they were finding and where they lived previously to moving here. So I believe in most cases, at least again, the people that I've met that have been immigrants, that mindset might be already present in the sense that they see opportunity. And the way our minds are constructed, because of our, I guess, our Neanderthal evolution, we have a tendency to look at life through the mindset of what's the worst case scenario when something happens. And the best place to be is to be able to look at everything as a possibility, that there's a growth mindset there, that there's possibilities available to us. And I think, most of the people that I've met that have been immigrants have that mindset that there's a world of opportunity here. All I need to do is to find a way to tap into it. And that starts with how you think, and then the decisions you make, how you choose, and then what actions you take. And once you take those actions, you're going to get experiences that will reinforce those thoughts, which create feelings that then turn into more new thoughts. And I believe, most of the people that I've met, maybe I've been fortunate with most of the immigrants I've met, is that they have this growth mindset. They see the opportunities here. So the moment they start thinking new thoughts and making new decisions and getting those, taking those actions, that'll get the results that, where they see the opportunities, they begin to experience change, they begin to experience the results of that new thinking, those new actions, and those new choices. And they start then feeling like, hey, this can really happen. This can really propel me forward and make me successful, because most immigrants have a great work ethic. And if you have that and you continually take action, the universe rewards action. And so if you're taking actions on those new choices and new thoughts, you're going to get reinforced with experiences and feelings that start producing the outcomes that you're looking for.
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of really important subjects. I tell people all the time, for someone to up and leave their native home, and I often use the analogy of the phoenix who burns down her nest to then survive the next 1,000 years, right? The choice to say, I'm going to leave what I know as my home behind and jump into an entirely new culture and start from the beginning for most people, or from the just got to find food, shelter, and employment to start with. That takes a real mindset of seeking opportunity at its foundation. And I also sometimes wish that my fellow maybe Americans would understand what it's like to be someplace where you don't have that opportunity. Like, even if you wanted the mindset to the best of your ability, it may not exist economically or whatever's happening in your country. And to seek that out is, by definition, changing your mindset and survival and seeking opportunity, where I think we take some of that for granted growing up in a country, in my case,
where
that exists.
No question we do. Yeah, no question we do.
Can you talk to me a little bit more about what it means to have that mindset shift? And it's sort of a think and grow rich type of history, and how you're encouraging people to attempt or to start on that mind shift.
Well, the first step to change is really, it starts with self-awareness. And so I think a lot of times what we think, 60 to 70,000 thoughts each day, Elizabeth. What we're not aware of is 90 to 95% of them are the same thoughts we had yesterday. Mm. And so what we're not being aware of is how often we're thinking in the past, or we're thinking about fearful things, or thinking about the worst case scenario. And so the first step toward change is just simply to become aware of your thoughts when you're thinking negatively, or when you're thinking worst case scenarios. So that's the first thing we teach. And we teach that, are you still there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Yeah, the Zoom faded. So if you can begin by having self-awareness, and then when you have a negative thought or a thought that's fearful, just stop it. Now that sounds simple, but a lot of times the awareness of it, and then reminding yourself to stop it and think toward your envisioned future, what you want to create. And of course, that's a process as well of determining what do I want? Because anybody who wakes up fearing what's going to happen to him that day, they're not living in an envisioned future, they're living in the past. They're living with that fear, and that's the problem we face if we're not just simply self-aware and then create an envisioned future where they can, where we can move into that and begin to act, think those thoughts, make those choices, and get those experiences and feel differently than we have been feeling and living in fear.
Right. I have a lot of folks that have fled their native country and are seeking asylum through the proper channels with my office. And we shift from this sense of trauma, why someone might be leaving, to really trying to get grounded in, okay, I'm safe now. Now that I understand I'm safe, how do I acknowledge the fear that I have, the fear for the future and uncertainty, and really sit with, okay, I'm safe. Now how do I envision that next piece that's abundant and thriving? And that's what you're teaching and training people to do, to stop in that moment, recognize. I'm surprised to hear that I might be thinking the same thing 90 to 95% of the time. That seems like a ginormous waste of my energy, and I will try to concentrate more on that. in that moment, when you stop and say, no, I'm safe, and I want to envision this abundance, how do you recommend just even getting to that point of taking that deep breath, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know if you know much my backstory, the reason how I got into Change Your Mind and Create New Results. I had cancer in 2012. Hmm. I went into the hospital and 84% of my bone marrow was cancerous. They gave me about a 2% chance of survival. And a friend of mine gave me, a business associate gave me the book by Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Oh. How to change your mind and create a new one. And so in that process, I learned how to change my mind, but I also used a lot of principles from my faith, my background. I grew up Catholic. There was a minister who had given me or provided a theme in a sermon. It was called How to Cross Your Red Sea. And I believe that principle is the same principle that we just talked about how we tend to live in the worst case scenario, because that's how we've evolved from Neanderthals or whatever you want to call it. The point is that in that sermon, that minister said, shared Exodus and how Moses had come to the Red Sea. And if you remember, he's facing the Red Sea. The chariots are coming. There's no way across the Reed Sea, I guess is what it was really called. And he asked God for help. And the first thing that God says to him, fear not. And that's the biggest obstacle, of course. You know, if you can imagine being in the hospital with less than a 2% chance of survival, there isn't. I had a doctor tell me, you know, Doug, go home, spend the time you got remaining. This was after 5 chemos had failed to get my cancer down to less than 10% to make me eligible for a bone marrow transplant. Yeah. She said, you know, just spend the time you have remaining with your loved ones. Well, it would have been easy to give up at that point, but for whatever reason, you know, I had been meditating, which was part of the practice that I learned through Dr. Joe's work, and meditation really takes us out of that time frame or that mindset of where we are in terms of that 90 to 95% of repetition. It gets us to see beyond ourselves, to get us to feel more in contact with our universal power, more spiritually connected. And it's also a place where the conditions for change are much more easily obtained. And so the first thing that somebody needs to do is to stop it, quit being afraid, and create an envisioned future. Where are you going? What's that elevated emotion that can create where you want to go and make you feel and experience a feeling of happiness?
I want to stop you right there, Douglas. I think when we come back, we're going to talk about that transition between where that belief and clarity matter more than your actual circumstance. And as you were discussing that transformative piece, irrespective of where you find yourselves. When we come back, we'll look at how systems, not just ambition, turn your opportunity into lasting success as well.
And we're back. I'm Elizabeth Trifonis, and this is Immigration Today on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
You're watching Immigration Today on Now Media Television. Watch this episode and all of our shows live or on demand anytime on Roku, iOS, or at nowmedia.tv. Now Media Television, real stories, real impact, streaming 24/7. Coming into our second segment here with Douglas, we left off talking about that mind shift change and how to stop that negative fear-based thinking. Douglas, you've coached countless business owners on priorities, metrics, and systems. And I know we were talking a little bit about that over our break. How can immigrants apply these same principles to building stability and opportunity in your experience?
In my experience, it starts with, I believe, having clarity on what you want. And a lot of times, a person can go into an enterprise or starting something, and what really is important is determining what's your one thing, the one thing for the year, the one thing for your quarter. What is, you know, it starts with clarity about what your business is about, who you're serving, who you're targeting. There's a lot of elements to that. But if you're sure about what you're clear about, here's my one thing. This is what I'm going to achieve this year, this quarter. That's really the way to begin with, to have clarity about what your purpose is. Steven Spielberg, I noticed a quote from him. He said, the hardest thing for a director to do is knowing what they want. They can create what they want, but if you don't know what you want, you're fumbling around. And I think a lot of people aren't quite sure what they want. And in terms of that, the more refined you can get about what you want, in terms of if you're starting a business, who's your customer? What are the dynamics? Who are your competitions? All those things need to be determined. And then you focus on what are you going to provide to your customers? So that question of what do you want and being clear about that then entails, okay, let's build a process that'll deliver that over and over and over repeatedly. And then putting in metrics so that you're able to see, am I making progress toward that? Are the systems producing the outcomes that we want? Those are the things that we need to do. We don't rise to the level of our goals, we rise to the level of our systems. That's a quote from James Clear. And it's really true. When we set goals for my customers, the key to achieving that goal isn't the goal, it's did we create the right system so that, in a 90-day period, a quarter, those 13 weeks, did we make the necessary execution required to get the result that we were going to produce? If we had 50 customers that we wanted to get this month, we probably needed about 4 a week. And that's what we should be tracking. And we should be tracking, how are we getting them? How are we getting the leads? How many are we closing? What percentage of those customers are we closing? That's a system, and the system needs to be tracked because within the system, there are execution elements that produce that. So 50 leads produces what, 25 customers or
Well, I think you're
25%
touching
of the customers,
on
if
a
you follow
lot.
me? Yeah.
Yeah, you're touching on so many things for people. I know this is an immigration-based show, and immigrants are often starting over in a lot of our stories, but we also have immigrant populations that are creating generational wealth for their family and businesses and moving those things forward. So I know the question is more focused on the immigrant, but really we're talking about how do human beings endeavor to reach goals and have abundance, generally speaking. One of the things that I hear you mentioning, though, is when we have the negative thought or the fear, the stopping and taking stock of where we're at. I think most of us, I know speaking for myself, there's a fear of just looking at where you're at. I'm not ashamed that this is where the business is at, this is where it's at. I need to have an understanding of where I presently stand, as well as where I would like to go to, and then make those system adjustments to effectuate that. And I guess my point is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but to start moving forward, you have to know where you're starting and be
Yeah,
okay
you
with
do. You
that.
definitely, yeah, you definitely do. And I think here again, I would recommend people document. In fact, what I do, we have a process in Change Your Mind, Create New Results for 30 days. You write down your thoughts, you write what you don't want, you want what you do want, and then you write down the action steps you're going to take toward getting to that goal. So that works individually or if you're looking at it from a standpoint of a business. And so you do have to be aware of where you're at. And by documenting that, by maybe keeping a journal, that's what I would suggest that you do. But without, so you probably need to take time as well as to envision, what do I really want? And the hard part, I think, is the process. I've coached people that have had like cancer, like I have. And what I think is the most difficult part is when you're doing, in this case, it's meditations and documentation, writing down what I want and so forth. The hard part is staying true to the process because you don't get results the first day you do it. You need repetition. Anything in life requires repetition in order to get the outcome that you want. And so the hard part is staying true to the process, following the process you've outlined, and then taking a look. Have I made progress? Which is, in my mind, the measurement, the metrics that you need, whether it's your life, your business, a system that you're following. That is a system to get you to where you want to go. You need to create that system. I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to say affirmations. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to go out and find a job. Whatever it is, you create a routine, a process, because again, as I said, it's not the goal that'll get you there. It's the system that gets you the result. And that's what I think people sometimes give up in the process of attempting to reach their goal, because they get sick of following the process. If you fall in love with the process, you'll eventually get the outcome, as long as you keep, you know, adjusting right. to get the along the way.
And that's what you mean by the system, the I get up at a certain time and I do the affirmations and I do the meditation and I trust in the process. In your experience, having that system, does that seem to matter more than the motivation to actually get to my goal? How do those impact each other?
Yeah, I don't know if it matters more. You certainly need to be inspired. I don't like the word motivation, by the way, Elizabeth. I like inspiration. I think I think anybody can be motivated for a little while, but inspiration is what leads to it. And the other thing I think, we talk about this, I just want to clarify something, because I like affirmations and I use affirmations a lot, but affirmations aren't going to get you where you want to go, because what we have found is that it's feelings. You can say affirmations until you're blue in the face, but if you don't change how you feel, in other words, I feel grateful. This is biblical in nature as well. I feel grateful for who I am and what I've already received and what I am receiving, because this is what I want. If it's to earn a certain income, to get a job, whatever it is, feel as if you've already received it. And that's going to help. And that's really what some of the practice in meditation is about, is creating that elevated emotion in your mind, in your meditation, so that you're feeling and I guess being right there, visualizing it happening, so that it does happen and you feel that sense, because that's what brings it into your life.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right, Douglas. And I think that speaking about motivation and really that word of inspiration will lead us into our next segment. Up next, we're going to talk about purpose and how knowing your why fuels contribution and belonging and success.
And we're back. I'm Elizabeth Trifonis, and this is Immigration Today on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Welcome back to Immigration Today. I'm your host, Elizabeth Trifonis, and we're continuing the conversation with Coach Douglas Wick about finding meaning beyond survival and inspiration, which obviously applies to our immigrant population, their growth in our country, and their own personal growth, as well as to all human beings. And Mr. Wick, you've written about clarity of purpose being essential to fulfillment. We talked about inspiration. How does purpose, or finding your why, if you will, contribute to our evolution, our success, our survival? Help me understand that connectedness.
Well, I think purpose in my mind equates to an envisioned future. If you have a purpose, you have a why to get up in the morning, and that makes all the difference. It supplies that inspiration that we talked about. Anyone who lives on purpose has that future already in mind, I believe. So unless we live in an envisioned future, we are gonna tend to live in our past. We're gonna spend time dwelling on that, and we can't do anything about the past. We can only take action in the present. And so having purpose means we live more in the present moment. The universe rewards action, as I think we've already talked about. So if you're living on purpose, you're inspired and you're moving towards something. And that means you're prone to take action. You have a bias for action. And action is the step that we need to take after we've had the right thoughts and after we made the right choices to get us to provide new experiences and new feelings, which then will emote into more new thoughts. So you're always in a constant, what I'd call a state of evolution. And that's, I think, where we all want to be. We want to all have that growth mindset to always be evolving, always be creating. And I believe that's essential to what purpose does and what inspiration does, and why without it, we're prone to, I think all of us know people who do tend to live in the past, and they're not inspired at all. And the people that we all know, people that, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Gandhi, all these people were inspired. And those were the people that had a purpose and created great things. And I think that's power. Any great business also has been inspired by having a purpose as well. And so if you can have a purpose, you're going to get so much more done. I hope that answered the question.
I think it does, and it also, when you find that purpose and you're meeting that purpose, there's a sense of abundance for that, and a continued call to action. And some of my other segments have spoke with Mr. Pereira and Mr. Medina, both of whom, one was a political prisoner, CEO from Venezuela, long-term detention, and the other one served 27 years of a life sentence, 15 of those in confinement, solitary confinement. And there's some themes that I see coming about, right? They lived each day like they were going to be out. They lived each day inspired to evolve, and they had goals and a structure each day and a process of, I get up, I do my prayers or my meditations, I do my exercise, I envision what steps I need to take to walk out of here. And that's what you're saying to us as well. Whether we're newly in the country and building our lives back up, or find ourselves where we're sitting here and we want to evolve into something more inspired. First, figuring out what you want, what you don't want. And I think you recommended just keeping that journal for 30 days and asking yourself that question. As you start to put the goals together, what are some tools people can reach out to? How do people get in touch with you? Or what are some books or things that you might recommend as next steps?
Yeah, I'm available at my my website, positioningsystems.com. I also have a blog, which you're seeing there, strategicdiscipline.positioningsystems.com. They can reach me at my phone number, 319-393-2565, or my email address, dwick, DWICK at positioningsystems.com.
That's wonderful. From your perspective, I think the question was written of how do immigrants strengthen communities and businesses through diversity of thought or experience, but I guess it was a little bit lawyerly of me the way I worded that. Do you think that immigrants actually strengthen communities and businesses, first off? And if you do, can you give us some examples of why?
I have I've coached businesses, either first, second generation immigrants, and I just see what I think I see the most is what we I think we talked about earlier, is their work ethic, their belief in the opportunity. Again, as Americans, I think, my own self, we take so much for granted. And there's so much I've seen these people achieve, the immigrants, particularly first, second, third generation immigration, people who have immigrated here, because they see the possibilities. They see the opportunities that are here. And what we talked about in Change Your Mind, Create New Results always is, if you're living in the past, you're thinking in terms of the worst case scenario. If you're living in creation mode, you're thinking about possibilities. And that's creation mode, is where things evolve, they create. And that's what I think immigrants have, that to the great, to I hope not to a great degree, but it sometimes it appears that way, that we as Americans have failed to realize the opportunity that we have here. And so I think immigrants probably have a better foundation to achieve, simply because of their mindset, their work ethic, and how they can see things vastly differently than most of us as Americans tend to, because so much has been given us, and we tend to take it for granted.
I like to say in my office, with a lot of my clients too, with great discomfort comes great evolution. And that process can be painful and traumatic for people. But what comes on the other side of that transition is opportunity and so much more. And that's the immigrant experience, right? But with that great discomfort, we have to move forward. We have to find the why and be challenged into that future direction.
We again, this is a statement from Change Your Mind, Create New Results. You can change in times of joy, or you can change in times of pain and suffering. Which would you rather choose? In my case, I got cancer. I had to, it was a painful experience to go through. And yet, I wouldn't trade it for the world because of what I gained out of it, what I b realized, that I could take responsibility for what I could imagine, and what, in this case, I feel God blessed me with, an opportunity for a second chance at life and the ability to hopefully help others with what I learned through going through that very painful process. But people can change anytime, and much more joyful to do it when you are not. But I think most people have a hard time doing that. They only change when they have to.
Right. I think that the forced resiliency, if you will, that you had no choice. You had a 2% survival rate. Your choice is either give in and let it cascade statistically the way it's probably going to, or impact that change. I always tell people, particularly when we're in long-term detention situations and visiting the jail rooms together, we have two choices. We can do nothing, and we know the outcome. The outcome is guaranteed if we just ex lay down and accept the situation. Our second choice is to be hopeful and to try our best to move things forward in a positive outcome. And I like to remind people that you might try your very best, and you might end up in the same position. Statistically, you might have died of cancer. But the point is, we know the result if we give up, and that hope and that peace of believing that it can make a difference is really the only way we're going to get to that outcome of having it make a difference.
One thing I did, which I learned through my, my coaching practice, I created a dashboard when I was in the hospital. I had things listed that I would do, each quarter, each week, for that matter. Eating right, exercising, doing my affirmations, meditating. I was meditating at that time 2 to 3 times a day. I was exercising, which a lot of the patients there were not doing. I'd get up and walk up and down the hallway, listening to music and so forth. So something that some people might find useful is creating a dashboard where they can track, even if it's just daily, tracking what they're doing, because that in itself is a system that's moving you toward that envisioned future, that purpose that you have.
That's perfect, because in the next segment, we're actually going to talk a little bit more about how that resilience and strategic thinking help people thrive through change, and that dashboard of metrics to see how you're doing on your goal along your way. We'll be right back.
And we're back. I'm Elizabeth Trifonis, and this is Immigration Today on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Welcome back. I'm Elizabeth Trifonis, and this is Immigration Today. Stay with us on Immigration Today, streaming now on Now Media Television. Coming back here in segment four with Douglas Wick, we left off talking about how to thrive through uncertainty and what it means to thrive through that into reinvention. And Douglas, you were telling us about this dashboard that you had when you were in the hospital and some of the things that you were measuring. Can you describe how would I set up my own dashboard today moving forward? What do you mean?
Well, you know, obviously, first you need a goal or an envisioned future. And then again, I'll go back to James Clear said in Atomic Habits, we don't rise to the level of our goals, we rise to the level of our systems. So in order to get, you know, if you want to run a mile in 4 minutes, which, you know, I've done several times, no, I'm just kidding. But if you want to do that, you've got to train yourself to run like quarter miles in 60 seconds or less. And so if you keep training and you do eight of them, that's pretty good. Pretty good potential that you're going to end up finishing in under 2 minutes or 4 minutes for a mile. And so what you need to do is, if you have a goal, whether it's earning, exercise, weight loss, whatever it is, and weight loss would be an example of probably having how you eat and how you exercise is two elements of that. And so what you would do would be to either lay out the meals you're going to eat every day. You're going to lay out, I'm going to walk, run, whatever it is. I'm going to do other exercises that are going to, you know, for tone or for weight loss and burn calories. The intention is that you are systematically setting up, this is what I'm going to do each day, each week. And the intention is that I've planned this out, and by the end of 13 weeks or a year, whatever that time period is, but usually we work within 13 weeks, and that's what I did when I was in the hospital, I'm going to achieve this end goal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have this outcome, for example, of I'm going to weigh 200 pounds, or I'm going to weigh 195 pounds, or 150 pounds if you're, you know, someone smaller. But that entails defining exactly what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, and then monitoring, did I do that or not? And in my case, it was meditating every day, and a lot of times meditating. And so I would track that. Did I exercise today? I would track that. Did I say my affirmations, which was something that came up on my, I plugged that into my Outlook, that I have like 20 or so affirmations that I read every day. In my Outlook that comes up on my task reminders. So those are the things that you do, and then you just monitor that and see. And we also used the other piece that I would recommend using is a process where we go red, yellow, green. Red means you're not getting it done. Yellow is you're getting there, but you haven't accomplished it yet. And green means you're right on track. In other words, I did 7 days in a row where I ate the right way, or 7 days in a row where I ran 2 miles, walked 2 miles, whatever it is, that's green. And that's telling you I'm staying on track and I'm being successful. And based on that, I should get the outcome that I want.
I think that red, yellow, green system is important. And recognizing that when you're working a system and you have these metrics, the day where you have that one that's in red, it's not a shameful red. It's not the indication to give up. It's the acknowledgement of this is where I'm doing well. This is where I'm not doing well, where I can improve, and having that honest, accountable conversation with yourself, remembering your why you endeavored it at all, and taking that feedback with a little bit of grace for ourselves to then get back into the yellow and the green and move it forward. Go ahead.
I've gotten to the point now where in the morning I have a group of, you know, biblical, I've got this from reading a book, you know, the idea that trust in the Lord and do good and inhabit the land and practice faithfulness and he will give you the desires of your heart. I read that. Then I write my thoughts. Then I write my don't wants, do wants. Then I write my actions for the day. And then at the end of the day, about 4:30 or so, I write down, okay, what went well, what didn't go well, what would make tomorrow great, what was my triumphs for the day. And it's just a simple way to review and make sure that I'm staying on track toward the outcome that I want to produce.
I think the triumphs are so important, and they can be small triumphs, that you even sat down and looked at it as a triumph. And that you maintained that internal accountability. And the setbacks really shouldn't be the undoing of the system. It should be just the acknowledgement of tomorrow I'm going to focus more on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Just correcting. That's all. Right. Never say anything about yourself that you wouldn't want anybody else to agree with. And I think if you have that mindset, and then again, back to that, my faith idea that God loves us more than we love ourselves. He's always going to forgive us and give us enough. You got a new chance tomorrow. Go for it. You know?
Right. Well, and maybe if we get rid of that 90 to 95% on repeat negative self-talk, we'll free up a lot of space for good affirmations.
Yes.
And I'm a big believer that when we feel well-resourced and loved and cared for, moving into a sense of thriving, we really become the rising tide that lifts all ships around us, right? In our communities, in our families, in our interactions. I think people can just sense it when I'm not being a negative Nancy and going to go eat worms. That was a song I grew up with my mom. It really changed my mindset.
The whole premise of change your mind, create new results is to get people to live to their potential, because we're living so so small, and you know, I admit to myself I'm there as well, and a lot of it can be just elevated emotions. When we feel elevated emotions, we're inspired, we want to do things. And so I'm with you. You're saying all things that affirm exactly the way I feel. We're all coming up short of our capabilities, but we can do so much more. And it's more self-reinforcement, self-awareness, and just continuing to strive and be inspired and having that envisioned future and then measuring yourself.
When you're dealing with businesses and systems and, you know, the ground is shifting, or I like to say right now with immigration law, I'm in a hall of mirrors, is a quote from our American Immigration Lawyers Association president right now that feels real for us in this industry. Do you have any advice for navigating those shifting changes, trying to still thrive when the environment around you is very much out of your control, or you've been diagnosed with cancer? What advice can you give us to stay grounded?
You know, again, I think, first of all, just a reminder, again, God loves us more than we love ourselves. And that, hopefully, when I, forgive me, I tear up when I think about it, because I remember reading that in the book, Joe Dispenza's. I guess I never had thought of it that way. And it just made me realize how much God loves me. But the reason for the dashboard, and the reason I think perhaps one of the reasons I survived, is I focused on what I could control. You can't do anything about what you can't control. And so, you know, worry is a sustained form of fear caused by indecision. So if you decide, this is what I'm going to do, this is where I'm going, and forgive yourself, you know, no one is guilty, I'm responsible, and you move forward taking action always toward the outcome that you want, then whatever else happens, you can't control that. I can only control what's up here and what I'm doing, what actions I'm taking, what choices I'm taking. And believe me, the time I spent in the hospital was probably, it was a defining moment, but I don't know that I've ever lived that close to my potential as I did as I went in the hospital, because my life depended on it. Mm-hmm. And so I just would recommend to people that control what you can, realize that God loves you more than, you know, you love yourself, and have real faith and have that inspiring place that you're going. I had a vision in my mind. My wife at the time and I were going to be in Hawaii. I was going to be invited to speak at a conference where I was going to tell people how I managed, you know, just like I am here now, telling how I managed to survive cancer with less than a 2% chance. And my children were going to come in. That's what I envisioned. I envisioned being on the shore in Hawaii. And here I am, thankfully. So creating that elevated emotion and having control over what you can control, and then trust and have faith in God.
Thank you, Douglas. I think I was once in front of a judge who was a friend of mine, and I try very hard not to get teary-eyed, right? And stay professional, if you will. And I did get teary-eyed in a presentation, and later on that judge came to me and said, "You know, Elizabeth, never apologize for getting teary-eyed, because when that happens, we know what you're saying is really, truly important and heartfelt." And I saw that in you as well, as you did express that emotion to us. I really thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your insights that remind us that success really does begin with ourselves and our mindset, and that we can grow through clarity, discipline, faith, and having purpose. Thank you for your time.
Nice recovery.